Hi, this is Tony Agnese. The program is Finding God's Grace, and my guest is Carla Bellinger. Carla is the author of the book Connecting Pulpit and Pew, Breaking Open the Conversation About Catholic Preaching. Carla has a master's degree from Notre Dame University in theology and a doctorate in ministry and preaching from Aquinas Institute. She is the director of the Center for Preaching, Evangelization, in Prayer. Carla, welcome to Finding God's Grace. Great to have you here.
Thank you, Tony. Good to be here.
Tell us a little bit about this doctorate in preaching. I hadn't heard of that before.
Well, there's only one place in the world where you can get a doctorate in preaching, and I think I'm the fourth Catholic laywoman to get a doctorate in preaching, so it's pretty rare. It's not like your garden variety of let's get a degree in something. It's been an interesting journey.
Let's talk a little bit about the book. The title, Connecting Pulpit and Pew, would indicate to me that we either aren't doing a very good job of that or we could do a better job of that, and I'm sure it's a little of both.
Yes, it is a little of both. We're doing well in preaching in about, according to the study I did, about one out of six of the people in the pew would recommend the preaching they hear to a friend. So there are places in our church where we're doing very well. We're also very new at preaching. After Vatican II, every man that had to say Mass also had to preach, and before that they didn't have to. So it's a new thing. We have some places we can grow. We have some places where we're doing well, and we have some places that we're not doing so well.
In the standard seminary curriculum, how much preaching does a young seminarian get?
Most seminaries give you about two, sometimes three, two-credit courses. So out of a 70 or 80-credit master's degree, it's a very small piece.
It does seem like a very small piece.
It is. Mm-hmm.
When it's compared to, you know, some of our Protestant brothers who, you know, their whole curriculum is pretty much based on preaching to some extent.
Yes, though they're having some struggles with it too, so mm-hmm. We're not alone in that. At the Academy of Homiletics, there's a continual, which is the ecumenical group of people who teach preaching, there's a continual struggle and striving even to be recognized that preaching matters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just our problem, it's also Protestant problems too.
Carla, let's talk about the research that you did. I was fascinated by it. This was all part of your master's degree, that's or at least how it started?
Yeah,
it was part of your doctorate, okay.
My doctorate, yes. As I was working on my doctorate, I was teaching in a Catholic high school, and a lot of the young people I was working with were starting to respond in a way when they heard a message, their faith was growing. And as I was working on my doctorate in preaching, I wanted to know how is our Sunday preaching working with our young people, because that's usually a key place where we see them. And if their parents have struggled to get their kids to church, and, you know, I have five kids, it is a struggle. Is there something there that will speak to them? And so I did a study of 561 kids across high school, Catholic high school kids across the country. It's the first time anyone has done an actual empirical study of preaching in the Catholic Church. And in the Protestant and Catholic churches, it's the first time anyone has asked young people about how are we doing. I had 86 questions. I wanted to know, first, how do we connect with you? And second, how do we connect with you in our preaching? And so the kids had a lot to say, and the book started from there about what the kids said about how to connect with them. So it's sort of breaking new ground in terms of preaching studies. I was at this conference in early December in San Diego, and the international people were asking me about my study because they're beginning to want to study preaching in Europe. Because they're having such a low attendance that they're finally trying to figure out how are we going to turn this around. Mm-hmm. And so instead of just making guesswork, which is what people have been doing in preaching, they're starting to study it. And so they were turning to me as the expert in empirical research in preaching. And I'm hoping that we can turn it around here in our country now and not wait 20 or 30 years till the people aren't in the pews.
You know, I think the statistics that I read, Carla, were that in the 1950s, about 80% or more of Catholics went to Mass on Sunday. And that figure now I hear is around 22%. And I know it's in the single digits in some places in Europe.
Right.
Obviously, there's a problem of connecting the pulpit and the pew. And is that what was some of the things that were reflected in some of the young people's comments that they made during the course of your interviewing?
Yes, they wanted to be spoken to. You know, the idea that kids are sitting there tuning out is not accurate. Those that are going to Mass every week, they're evaluating. They're listening. If it speaks to them, it makes a difference in their lives. One of the clear things that I found in my study was of those that went to Mass at least once a year, they could say in the past year about 55% of them said something that had helped them to grow in faith. Mm-hmm. But with the statistics you mentioned about people not going to Mass, back in 1955, it didn't really matter whether there was a homily, how much there was a homily, because there was a cultural support for Catholic faith. Currently, this may be the only point of connection they have with the church at all. They may not be doing other things. They may not be, you know, especially young people may not be getting other input. The people who are listening to a radio program, the homily doesn't matter all that much because they have other sources of input. It's the 5 out of 6 who come to Mass regularly who do not have any other source of input, and the homily is sort of like a lifeline. And as one of the young ladies said about people her age, she said it can make or break their faith.
If you're only going to spend 1 hour mm-hmm. on your faith a week mm-hmm. and you're not getting from that hour inspired or motivated right. or finding something that's useful, mm-hmm. it's a very difficult situation for somebody young saying, it just doesn't relate, it just doesn't yeah. connect, and
yeah.
so forth.
Yeah. There are several ways they asked about connecting with them. The most important was relate to me, relate to my life, speak to the things that I need to hear. Young people, for instance, have friends who are thinking about suicide. They have people dying. They have a tough life to live in. And more than anything, they need words that will lift them up, something that will touch the real world in which they live. And a lot of them said either it wasn't directed toward young people, it didn't connect with their life, or it was just too academic. It didn't really fit their needs. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what I say in the book, I've heard other people say, these are the things we've always wanted to say about preaching and never really have. Because in our church, there is sort of a gap in the ability to talk to the priests. You know, I say, well, let's have a conversation. You know, there's a loud silence. I call it in the book the loud silence. We're not talking about preaching.
No, we're not. You know, and I hear, as a matter of fact, I read an article just this week, and I hear this often. I'm sure you've heard it often as well, probably more often than me because of what you do. But when somebody says, I'm not getting anything out of the preaching, mm-hmm. The response is, well, you're not there to be entertained.
Right.
You know, it's what you bring to Mass. You're not there to be entertained. And I think there's a bit of a cop-out there because I don't think anyone is there to be entertained. I think right. they're there to be inspired, they're to be mm-hmm. taught, they're to be given encouragement and so forth. So you're not at Mass to be entertained. I think it's just a cop-out for a lack of conversation about the subject that's right. going on. Would you agree with that or close to it?
Yes, I've heard that so often that I put into my study, I came to Mass to be entertained. And out of the ones who went every week, and I think when I separated by who went regularly, two young men who were both freshmen from the same parish were the only ones who said they came to be entertained. And when I looked at how well they rated their homilist, he was entertaining. So the rest of them came. I asked them, you know, did you come to worship God? Did you come because you were required to? Did you come to be with your family and friends? And to worship God was the highest one. The second highest one was because I was required to. And when I ran that correlation, and this is good news for parents, just because they were required to be there, they didn't rate the homily any better or any worse than someone who was there voluntarily.
My guest is Carla Bellinger. Carla is the director of the Center for Preaching, Evangelization, and Prayer. And we'll continue with Carla in just a moment.